Hello and welcome to the Microsoft Ignite keynote post show. I am Alex Bradley, hosting live from Chicago. Coming up, we bring you highlights from the opening keynote and we sit down with the speakers, Joe Belfiore, Gurdeep Singhpal, and Brad Anderson. We have been receiving your questions throughout the keynote and are going to share those with our guests. It's not too late to participate, and we'll be on Twitter all week long. Simply tweet us using hashtag MSIgnite. Ahead, analysis with Microsoft General Manager Julia White. We'll also check in on the social temperature and see what you've been saying throughout the keynote. All right, Julia, so not only were you one of the demos as part of Gurdeep's, but you're here to talk about Satya. How was the demo? Are you happy with how it went?
It was great. It's just so fun to show the technology. I feel very lucky to have to work at a place we have such cool things to show. I feel like, especially when I work with all of our customers who, you know, think about the core IT admin of Exchange or SharePoint, who historically spent a lot of time just keeping maintenance, patching, keeping things running.
And they can now actually...
And there's always been this list of things of like, well, when I have time, I'm going to do this, and when I can, I'm going to do that. But those, you know, they always have to be subservient to just keeping stuff up and running and current. And now I see much more conversation about, great, now I have, with the cloud, I can turn on some of those things and I can focus on engaging with my business and like really driving business decisions. And such like, I mean, heartwarming to someone who lives in this world of, gosh, they can really empower
it
that.
It gets out of the feeds and speeds and into business change. And so we can now definitely have a look at what Satya had to say.
We move IT from delivering information technology in our organizations to driving the innovation and transformation in our organizations. That is the theme of this conference. That's the theme of Ignite. Perhaps the most profound change is how we think about Windows. Windows 10, for me, is not just another release of Windows. It is a new generation of Windows. And it's about Windows delivered as a service.
All right, so Satya moved on us and started talking about the change that Windows is undergoing.
Right.
Why do you think that's, you know, he talked about it's not just a new release, it's different. Why is it different?
Yeah, well, I want to just step back for just a second. You think about across the company, this journey we've been on. So what, 5-6 years ago when we launched Office 365, and then a few years ago with Office clients as a service in the cloud, and then Azure and Intune, and now Windows. Right? We've kind of completed this journey where all of our technologies are moving to the services model. And it is, I'm glad he positioned it the way he did. It is a big generational shift to this as a service model.
Now, okay, so in our first segment, we talked about that changing role of IT, and now, you know, Windows is joining others in terms of that transformation.
Yeah.
It's clearly a lot for IT to take in.
Yeah.
And he talked about how we've got to empower end users, but let IT have control, and I want to roll that clip.
Okay.
You can have end users make their choices in friction-free ways, but you as IT professionals can have the compliance and governance.
So how do you think about that? You know, on the one hand, we're saying we're empowering end users to have choice.
Yeah.
How do we do that whilst also giving IT control?
Yeah, absolutely. And they used to be more about, hey, we can just lock things down, right? And didn't have to worry about the user experience. It was just about, everything was about kind of security and locking everything down, which is super, super important. But what's happened in the past couple of years is these consumer services are accessible to everybody. And so as an employee, I'm just trying to get my job done, best intentions, but I'm going to do what I need to do to get my job done. And if it makes it easier to use a consumer service, I will. And so that's the new challenge of IT, of saying, okay, wait, I need to have great user experiences so people don't work around me in a workplace, but I also have all the controls. And I really think Microsoft's unique in that, of having a fantastic experience on both sides, right? So we don't compromise on either end.
Delight the end users, but also give the IT the controls that they need.
You have to do both. You have to do both.
Julia, well, congratulations on a successful demo, and thanks for joining us in the keynote.
Great to be here.
All right, now, Joey Snow is rounding up the reaction to Satya's opening keynote on social media. With over 23,000 live attendees, there was plenty of buzz in the room, and thousands of you joined us online and were equally vocal. Joey,
You're absolutely right. Boy, was it a vocal crowd on Twitter. We saw Twitter trending all around the world, all around at least the United States, I saw for sure. We had to compete a little bit with Star Wars Day and the baby name, but that's all right. Let's go to
the baby name, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go to the Twitter and see exactly what we have. Alan Lipo really likes this phrase. IT is shifting from information technology to innovation and transformation, something that Satya pointed out. Edwin mentions that the new Universal Windows platform looks A great for consistent cross-device app experiences.
One more final question.
Boris mentions logging in only by face recognition. That's cool. Wow, now that's cool. Finally, phones are not mobile. If you don't believe me, leave your phone on the desk and walk away. Good point. And I saw that all over Twitter right after that comment was made. And then finally, CJ31016, you've got to be kidding me. Live CoAuth on the desktop for Office 2016 applications, OMG. There's a little bit of a hit from Twitter for you.
Yeah, it was very pleasing to see the reaction in the room to the co-authoring in the
rich one of my favorites.
which was part of your demo.
Yes.
Any final thoughts before we move on, Julia?
Yeah. I just wanted to reemphasize, it's a time of change for the industry, but also for Microsoft.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, I know I think Satya represented that so well in terms of our company transformation and then how we're going to do it with our customers and partners. So that's what I'd leave you with.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, Julia. All right. Well, Julia is now done, but she's going to be going in and doing the foundational keynotes later on. If you missed this morning's keynote, you can watch it on demand at ignite.microsoft.com, where you can also watch all of the sessions here from Ignite. When we return, keynote speaker and Microsoft Corporate Vice President Brad Anderson joins us on the post-show. Live coverage of Microsoft Ignite continues in a moment.
Changing so incredibly quickly, if you're not constantly innovating, you're not going to be here in the future.
A modern workplace is a key requirement to be a digital company.
We need to be in pace with that rate of innovation.
Topics are changing that fast, and every day you get new inspiration, new ideas. Collaborating with people around the world, getting also their insights, what's going on in their market.
You cannot do your job alone. You need a lot of different information coming from different people.
Office 365 has made Henkel faster and more agile.
Once we implemented Skype for Business and people began to see how easy it was to actually use, it took off like wildfire. People were very excited about how easy they could use it and how quickly they could incorporate it into their daily workflow.
Mobility changed the way our workforce looks at the company and how we make them part of the solution. And I think Microsoft has demonstrated that they are second to none in terms of security.
UL has been on a journey. The journey is to empower our employees and our customers to do more.
When you get everybody aligned in this company, there isn't anything we can't accomplish.
Just do it. Make it happen.
Mr. Anderson, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really looking forward to having a chat and understanding what is going on backstage. It was a pretty remarkable keynote that you had there. I mean, so much to talk about. What were the key themes that you had to discuss?
Yeah, you know, really, we talked about it as we're building the intelligent cloud, the work that we're doing to make sure that it's trustworthy, that it is integrated, that it's flexible, and that more than anything, it's delivering intelligence and knowledge to our customers. It was phenomenal. I mean, we had so much content, there was so much innovation, it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
How do you think about that balance between the flexibility and the control? And I know that's something that you focus on, you know, day in, day out.
Yeah. You know, historically, and as I look at the solutions that we've deployed out for years and years and years, all too often we've delivered a poor user experience in the name of security, in the name of control.
Yep.
I think those days are just past. I mean, users just will not accept that, especially in their own devices. And so I think we've just got to fundamentally change the view that we have here, and we have to deliver the most engaging, the most empowering environments that we can. And I think it all begins with Office. You know, I take a look at Office on these all the different devices, Windows, iOS, and Android. Unmistakably Office, that rich, engaging experience. And then you build around that. You build around that with other applications, with the management, with the security, but focus on empowerment, and then at the same time, make sure we're delivering security.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Office, because that's obviously one of our flagships.
Yeah.
But, you know, flexibility was one of the other things that you talked about, and especially with one of the topics that you talked about with Microsoft Intune.
Mm-hmm.
How do we think about flexibility? Is it just about Office and, you know, Microsoft properties, or do we think more broadly?
Yeah, great point, great question. So we actually have done work. We released an SDK and brand and a wrapper. And what that allows us to do, or our customers to do, is take any application, whether it's an internally developed application or an application that comes from an ISV, and have that those applications participate in this ecosystem. So it's just not Microsoft. We actually have the capabilities to invite any application to now participate in that Office ecosystem.
Interesting. And we've actually got a Twitter question, because we've been asking people all day to tweet us using hashtag MSIgnite. And they're asking, does the data leak protection work with screenshots, or does it strictly protect just copy and paste of text?
Yeah, great question. That actually is a function of the operating system that we're able to integrate in with. I remember the first time when I was on one of these mobile devices, and I actually just wanted to see if I could actually do a screenshot, and it was in fact blocked. So yes, the DLP does include the ability to stop the screenshot. Now, I'll tell you, we haven't quite figured out how to prevent people from taking pictures yet, but we'll get there.
Or putting an iPad or a Surface on a photocopier.
Harry and the Microsoft research is working on that one.
Awesome. I also understand we had an anniversary in the family just recently with Intune. Is that right?
Yeah, actually, this week was the one-year anniversary of EMS. May 1st was the day that it actually hit our price list 1 year ago. And it's been phenomenal. What's been mind-boggling about this is to see just how fast the world has embraced these capabilities. It's one of the fastest-growing products in the history of the company.
Awesome. Now, one of the other big topics that you talked about, and you had Jeff come up and do a demo, was around SQL. And yep. Satya had an amazing quote around sort of SQL 2016 and the innovation that we're seeing with that product. You know, how do you think about that? Because, you know, the breadth of the business that you represent is really, you know, quite phenomenal. What were the key moments and news from the SQL team today?
Yeah, you know, as we've been working on SQL 2016, one of the things that we've gotten really good at, and the SQL team is really from an engineering perspective leading much of this, is having the exact same bits that we run up in SQL Azure be delivered down to customers who run in their data center. You know, it's actually one build in the SQL team. And so what we've been able to do is all of that mission critical tier one support that we provide in Azure, where we're hosting over 1.4 million instances of SQL, now is being delivered to customers to run in their data centers. And to me, I remember the first time that I saw the demonstration of this thing that we call database stretch, which is literally taking an existing table, stretching that across our cloud and your cloud. No application modifications necessary, the same queries work. It's mind-boggling because customers now get the benefit of the public cloud, the agility, and that ability to take advantage of things and move that cold data in a way that is just remarkable. That demo blew my mind the first time I saw it.
One quick final question about that Azure Stretch demo that we did. Part of the conversation we've had with some of the attendees is, how do we help them explain this to their business colleagues when they get home? What's the business value of that Azure Stretch to a IT implementer?
Yeah, so the value of database stretch is you can take an existing database, you can identify which data is hot and which data is cold, and actually move the cold data now up into Azure. No modifications required to your applications, the same queries work, so you get
leveraging
that scale and the economics of the public cloud. And one of the even, I think, more fascinating things is even the largest databases in the world can now be restored in minutes because the majority of the data is actually residing
awesome.
In Azure.
All right, Brad, thank you so much, and congratulations on a great keynote and demo.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, Joe Belfiore followed Satya this morning on the keynote stage and focused on what he and Microsoft are doing to make computing more personal. Let's take a quick look.
My mission is to convince you and to give you the tools to go back to your companies with the belief that your end users are going to love and desire Windows 10.
Now, on that question, on that piece around end users loving Windows 10, this is Microsoft's Enterprise Technology Conference. Why are we talking about end users loving things? Shouldn't we be talking about IT pros loving things?
Well, we certainly care about IT pros loving things, but at the end of the day, if you're an IT professional and you're really trying to deliver innovation and transformation, you want delighted, capable end users who are more productive and doing great things for your business because the technology supports them in that.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we thought it would be worth characterizing for all the IT pros in the audience why regular people trying to get their jobs done are going to love Windows 10.
Now, you also you started with talking about, you know, end user love, and I'd love the team, you know, backstage to queue up a video talking about familiarity. It's the second one in the list. And the reason why that's important is because on the one hand, you talk about end users, you know, loving technology, which we all think about the bright, shiny object, the new stuff, when part of your talk track was around you know, familiarity and why it's important. How do you think about the balance between these two things? And hopefully we can take a look in a second, but your initial
thoughts. Sure. You know, the key is for people to be able to get something new, but ease themselves in a way that the product reveals itself at the right pace. And so you don't want a situation where they get this new thing, and on that very first day, they're confused or they're frightened. You want their first day to be smooth, and then you want their second day to be one of discovery, and their third day where things get even better. Maybe on the fourth day, they think about a new device, or they start to take advantage of new capabilities. And so it's about scripting an elegant, thoughtful way for people to get into new capabilities and feel great about it the whole time.
And, you know, Gurdeep talked about, you know, millennials, and that's interesting because they're going to be the largest part of the workforce by 2020, but there's still everybody who's already in the workforce.
That's right.
Who've been using Windows, you know, forever.
That's right. And a big part of what we're trying to do is recognize that you have this range of people, from folks on Windows 7 that have not spent a bunch of time learning new UI paradigms to those millennials, and they're spending most of their time on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to design an experience that scales across that different skill set, that different mindset, and offer people great benefits.
Is this the value prop behind the sort of the universal apps? Because you talk about sort of the phone and the PCs. Is that part of the driving force?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of features that are specific to Windows 10 that we're coming at from that frame. One would be the universal Windows platform, where an app tailors itself to different experiences, and you might go from a phone to a tablet to a PC and then get the benefit. Another good example is Cortana. You know, you think about people who are very focused on their phones, they're used to the idea of asking questions in a personal system, but people who are, you know, maybe not so phone focused, not so much. And we want the experience to scale across devices and across the depth of technology expertise people
have. How do you think, and we've got a question from Twitter in a second, but before we get there, how do you think about, like, take Cortana, we talk a lot about dual users, you know, work and personal life. You know, how does Cortana transcend both, you know, one's work life and one's personal life?
Yeah, one of the things that we're trying to be very focused on with Cortana is ensuring that the corpus of information that she can help you with spans across both. And so what you've seen us do mostly historically are sort of consumer-oriented features. And it's the kind of things that Siri does on the iPhone, the kinds of things that Google Now do. Answering questions about the world, having general knowledge about the internet, which tends to tilt more towards celebrities and entertainment and places. Well, we've been trying to show the ways that Cortana also knows about your documents. And so you ask her to help you find PowerPoint presentations. And today, it was sort of a big reveal for us of this idea that Cortana can understand your business data. And when you ask her to show you, you know, the Ignite attendees from various countries, you get a map with
a chart.
And she was
really querying Power BI in the back end,
exactly,
wasn't it?
Exactly.
So, yeah, she's pretty smart. All right, now another part of your demo that I absolutely adored, and you know, we all sometimes with bits and pieces of demos with cutting edge technology, like, oh, come on, make it work, the Windows Hello.
Yeah.
And this is the topic of the tweet that we had. The demo of Windows Hello took barely 2 seconds. Does it recognize a picture versus the person?
It does not recognize a picture. And part of the reason is that we've built the scalable technology that can handle different kinds of biometrics. And so in the case of the camera, what we have there is actually a depth camera that uses IR to recognize an actual 3D face. And there's other benefits from that technology. For example, if you're in a dark room, the camera is emitting IR, so it sees you even if there's not very much light in the room. And this Windows Hello capability scales not just to cameras and face recognition, but also to things like fingerprint recognition.
Ah, awesome. Well, Joe, thank you so much for coming and joining us, and congratulations on a great keynote and demo.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Microsoft's Corporate Vice President of Skype, Gurdeep Singh-Pal, rounded out the keynote program just before Brad Anderson earlier today. He spoke about reinventing productivity. Let's take a quick look.
Work is what you do. It's not where you go. People will work from wherever they are with whatever devices they have, and they'll work on their own time.
Now, Gurdeep, you had a fantastic keynote earlier on. I think the biggest laugh came from people were using Facebook, people were using LinkedIn. I think people were using, you know, you posited that people might have been using Tinder in the audience as well. I love the humor that came in there. You started off by talking about the world has changed. Why was that important, and how was it the same thing as Satya was saying, or a little bit different?
Well, it is sort of continuing on the same idea. I think it's very, very important to look at what is happening around us, because many times we sort of get, you know, caught up with the tools we're using, the environment we have. And before, sometimes by the time you raise your head, it's too late, and things are changing really fast. So I wanted to really set that context.
What is the impact? So the fact that the world is changing isn't any different today than 5 years ago or 10 years ago. What is different about change today than before?
Yeah, I think the pace of change and the amount it's changing by is really, really gone up recently. Like, for example, you know, devices, you could say 20 years ago, you know, devices had a lifetime of, you know, 5 years to 7 years.
Yeah.
Now we're finding that every 1 or 2 years, like, devices are fundamentally changing in capability, power, screen size, etc.
And I suppose that then relates back to the empowering IT narrative of today, because, you know, IT can't be focused or should be focused on business change versus speeds and feats.
Yes, exactly right. I mean, one way to think of it is that, you know, it's sort of a higher layer of abstraction, if you will. You know, now the tools are really there, and now the role of IT is about how do you take these tools to best match the business needs that we have to help propel the business forward.
Got it. Now I'm going to ask the team to queue up the third clip. We'll see if we can watch that in a second. And it's about video conferencing. Because you also in your, you know, you were talking about reinventing productivity all up, but in your day job, you focus on Skype engineering. How long have you been focused on that?
Well, it depends on how you count. I started the Link business at Microsoft back in 2002. And I did that all the way until early 2011. Then I did a 2-year sabbatical, if you will, to work on the artificial intelligence platform. And then I came back to run Skype and Link combined, which is now Skype and Skype for Business.
So, I mean, this is an interesting question. You know, you were the father of Link, as it were. What is the strategy behind, like, changing from Link to Skype for Business?
I think the key thing here is that, you know, as this sort of, you know, technology is changing the world really fast, you can't have separate kind of tools for work and life. And we feel that a lot of people use these tools in their life, and we want them to come and hit the ground running in the workplace and be productive from day one.
Perfect.
And by making the experience to be very consistent across work and life, while still ensuring that the back end has the security and compliance and manageability, is really the theory here.
So we don't lose that.
That is correct.
Okay, now you had a great piece on video conferencing, so let's watch that clip now. Mm-hmm.
You want one-touch way to get into a meeting and have a high-fidelity video conversation. That's why the work that we've done with Surface Hub is very, very important, and you will see it. That's why the work that we're doing with partners like Polycom, Crestron, Smart, with Skype Room Systems is very, very important across a variety of price points, but a lot more affordable than any of the video conferencing gear that you might have seen in the past.
So that was kind of an action-packed clip. We've got Surface Hub, we've got Skype Room Systems, you know, we've got our partners. Like, help me understand, like, how these things all fit together and who should be buying or using what.
Yeah, I think what we are really seeing is that there's a completely new generation of devices for conference rooms that is now coming into play. Now, the old systems were really expensive and they frankly collected dust. Nobody figured out how to use them. These are very, very usable. They're very affordable, but like every business has many different kinds of meeting spaces. Some are smaller, some are bigger, some are have some kind of interaction. So we want to make sure there's a complete array so that businesses can choose the right device for the right space that they have.
Got it. And so Surface Hub, you know, plug and play kind of thing, that the Skype Room system gets integrated into the room. Interesting. The other thing that I thought was fascinating was talking about Skype broadcast, because, you know, what do we, you know, here we're broadcasting out, but what's the big news of the day there?
That is actually really, really important. What we heard from customers was that, you know, they had sometimes they had larger meetings, but these meetings are different meetings where, you know, you can't have an interactive meeting with 250 people. And we had, of course, had a pretty big limit on how big a meeting you could have, but it was really not the right tool to stretch all that way. What people really wanted was to have a smaller meeting and then have it broadcast out to a lot more people so they could sort of watch the meeting, as it were, and then also go back and watch it, or they could rewind it, et cetera. So this is now one solution which does everything.
And again, I guess it's that power of the cloud, you know, leveraging, you know, in a way that we couldn't have done before.
Absolutely.
And again, it comes back to that empowering IT. You know, they don't have to worry about the call bridge and this and that. It just works.
It just works.
Fantastic. Gurdeep, thank you so much, and congratulations on the keynote and demo.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. We want to remind you that there will be continuing coverage of Ignite this afternoon and throughout this week, courtesy of Channel 9. That coverage will begin immediately following this keynote post-show. Check out the times on your screen. Those times are, of course, listed in the central time zone here in Chicago. We're really excited to have not only a fantastic broadcast pre and post-show and then the streaming, but also all of the sessions and the foundational keynotes are going to be streamed live. So join us, check out those sessions, and you can always tweet us using that hashtag MSIgnite throughout the conference. Right. Joining me now is one of my favorite men at Microsoft, the Surface guy, Cyril Belikoff. Now, the reason why you're one of my favorite guys is because you very kindly, I'm going to say gave me, this Surface 3 that I have here, which, when does this launch?
Yeah, the launch, we got a general availability tomorrow, actually. It's very exciting.
Oh, so I'm only a day early.
Yeah, we're a little early, but for both our retail retailers and our commercial channel, for consumers and our commercial customers will be able to buy tomorrow. And at Ignite at the Microsoft store, attendees can go and get one right there.
And there's, I think we've got a little bit of a special deal on the Surfaces at the store for Ignite attendees.
Yeah, the Microsoft store always has a special surprise for all attendees. So that's it'll be great.
So we talk about now, you know, a family of devices. Help me understand, you know, we've got the two at the moment. What are the differences between the two?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, last year we launched the Surface Pro 3, and we had some great early adopters with Coca-Cola, Louis Vuitton, BMW. And as I mentioned, the general availability of the Surface 3. The Surface Pro 3 is essentially the workhorse.
Yeah.
It's a great...
A tablet that can replace your laptop.
Exactly. It solves...
You did a good job with our CEO. He managed to get that line.
He got it in. He got it in great. And it really solves that problem, which is... You know, I want a tablet, but I need the power of a laptop, and I need it in one device.
Got it. And I guess that the Surface 3 is going to be great for more consumer education type of things, where Surface Pro 3 is more of a business type device?
Yeah, the Surface Pro 3, as I mentioned, is the workhorse.
Yep.
Surface 3 is sort of the baby cousin, right? A little smaller screen, more affordable. Works in many scenarios. There are a line of business scenarios.
Both Windows and managed in the same way.
It's running Windows Pro. Both are upgradable to Windows 10, yep, which are great devices.
And you can manage them in the enterprise.
And you manage them in the enterprise with whatever you do, whether it's System Center, you know, EMS, and anything like that.
Awesome. Cyril, thanks so much for joining us.
Great.
All right, a reminder that Joey and I will return to this stage in about 4.5 hours from now. That's 4:45 p.m. Chicago or Central Time with live coverage of the afternoon keynote. It will feature Microsoft's Executive Vice President of Technology and Research, Harry Shum. Harry will provide a glimpse into the future of computing. We're going to host a pre-show and afterwards a live conversation right here with Harry. Continue to join the conversation via Twitter using hashtag MSIgnite. And as we've mentioned, you can watch the full sessions at ignite.microsoft.com. Joey, thank you so much for your help today. It's been fantastic hearing the social.
Absolutely. It's been fantastic to be part of the buzz. And of course, as you mentioned, we're going to continue on right here on channel, right here on ignite.microsoft.com with some Channel 9 live coverage. We're going to head down and we're going to hear from some fantastic guests.
Great. Thanks, Joey. I'm Alex Bradley from Chicago, handing you over to Channel 9 Live for continuing coverage of Microsoft Ignite.